read our scripture today. The title of the message is In Adam, All Die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His eternal and glorious word. I have to tell you something, maybe the most powerful word in all of that that's up there that should get your attention is the three-letter word. It's called all. Let's say that word together. All. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means every one of us. That means every person. You say, well, what do you mean? All in Adam, all die? I have to tell you something. Do you know that the vital statistics of death is the same today as it was during the bubonic plague in the Middle Ages? Do you know during the worst epidemic that ever swept the country where people were dying right and left, that the statistics of death are exactly the same today as they were then? And you say, well, I don't see how that could be because all those people were dying. Yes, and all these people are dying. You see, the statistic is this. 100% of the people who are living die. That's it. 100% of the people who are living die. You say 100%? Yeah. Rich people and poor people. Good people and bad people. Aborigines and PhDs. People of every color, from every creed, from every nation, from every island, from every continent, from every age and every place. 100% of the people who live die. And we can say, well, I don't want to participate. We do that sometimes, don't we? I do that if I think I have to go to the dentist. I take a notion that I don't want to participate. There are lots of things that come up to me in life that are unpleasant, and I don't like it, and I dodge it. Now, I know you're not guilty of that. There are a lot of things that come up and I procrastinate. I don't want to do it, so I waste my time and waste the Lord's time and everybody else's by waiting around. But there's one thing that I can't do. The Bible said, in speaking of death, that there's no way out of it. Fact is, He says it is appointed unto man once to die. You say, I don't like that. Well, it hadn't changed in the last 6,000 years or so, and I don't think it's going to change till Jesus comes again. So when I look at it and I consider that the scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die, I have an appointment with death that I have to meet. I don't like the idea. I don't care for the idea. I'd get away from it if I could. But the truth is, no one has escaped yet. Every single person from Adam till now has passed away from this life through death, including the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and willingly died for us on the cross of Calvary. Fact is, the scripture speaks of going to death like going to the army or going to the service for the country. And it says there is no discharge in this warfare. Now, we might get out on a technicality from Uncle Sam. I was in line, drafted along with everybody else going to Vietnam, ready to step on the bus when they came and took me away and said I was 4F. And they discovered watching me get on the bus that I didn't have a trigger finger. So I was discharged from my duty of being in the service, even though I was willing to go, even wanted to go, and begged to go because everybody else was going, and they got the book out and read it to me and said, no, you can't be. And they wrote me a paper, and that was the end of it. They didn't want me, and they wouldn't have me, and they wouldn't take me. So I served my country in other ways. But when it comes to death, I'm not going to be in the line one day and somebody say, oh, that's Eddie. You don't have to take him. He don't have a finger on his right hand. They're not going to say that. The day's not going to come that I walk up and they say, well, he's been a pretty good fella. I don't see any need for him to have to die. The truth is, my friend, that 100% of the people who live will pass from this life into the life to come. And there's no way out of it. It is appointed, and it happens. And if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in anything, you just flake it out, as they say. It won't have any effect. Just because you don't believe in it won't affect it at all. You may not believe in the hereafter, but there'll be one. And you may not believe that you want to die, but you will. So the whole idea is you have to deal with it. You say, no, I don't want to deal with it. I want to put my head in the sand like an ostrich, and I want to cover it up, and I want to pretend that it's not so. And we can dress it up. We can dress it up. We can ride you in a $100,000 limousine down the highway. We can put up tents over the grave and put down artificial grass to hide the dirt. We can put everything in perspective and make it just look just sweet and good as you ever want it to look, and say pretty words and all that. But it won't change it, my friend. It is appointed unto man once to die. And there's no discharge in this world warfare. In Adam, how many die? All. In Adam, all die. All the descendants of Adam die. Now, the thing of it is, we don't mind sometimes dealing with it clinically. And sometimes we don't mind dealing with it statistically. But we sure hate to deal with it personally, don't we? We hate to come to the absolute knowledge that death includes me, that I am going to die one day. My grandmother Marshall told me when she was a little girl, she had never thought about her dying. She had heard that people died and heard her parents talk about it over in Edge of Floyd and Carroll County. And she'd heard all that kind of thing, but it never hit her. And one day she was out in the yard playing at Grandpa Sutphin's, and she looked up and there was a procession coming down the road. And there was a wagon at the head of it that had a coffin on it. And in that coffin was her Uncle Billy Smith. And the people were all dressed in black and were in a procession of buggies and horses behind that wagon. And she ran to the front gate and stood up on the fence and watched as the funeral procession came through the country and wound around the hill and went up to the Baptist church where they could bury Uncle Billy Smith. And Grandma said there was this cold feeling came down in the pit of her stomach as a little girl, because at that moment she realized that I'm going to have to do that too. I'm going to have to go the same way that Uncle Billy's gone. I'm going to have to die. And she had to deal with it. My friend, you can pretend it's not going to be. You can act like it's not going to happen, but it's going to happen. One day, the time of your appointment will come around. One day, the time will come around that you have to stand before the Almighty God, and you will face Him through the portal of death. Now, for some reason, we're fascinated by death. And you say, oh no, I don't want to hear anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want you to talk to me about it. I don't want you to mention it to me. I don't want you to say anything. I just don't want to deal with it. You will ultimately have to deal with it, but we deal with it every day. I don't know the statistics. I guess I could look it up and find out. But how many of the programs that you entertain yourself with every night in your living room or den or wherever you are, how many of your programs have death in it? And you say, well, I don't like these old modern bad shows. I like them good old westerns out there. Yeah, I know, where they're drinking and carrying on in a bordello and shooting each other dead and leaving each other bleeding in the street. Hello. Well, isn't it so? Sure, that's what Westerns do. What do you think Miss Kitty is on Gunsmoke? Dressing? I mean, think about it. What is all this shooting and all that red stuff on their clothes and people laying in the streets and jerking around in the street and dying? And we entertain ourselves. We're fascinated and we entertain ourselves with all kinds of entertainment. That includes the theater. I'm talking about where people actually act. All videos, all kinds of things, and they all have to do with death. And you could ask today, how many people believe in ghosts? There's plenty of people who believe in ghosts. Maybe you believe in ghosts. People want to know if houses are haunted. They ask me that all the time, about haunted houses. And people talk about haunted houses, and there are ghosts. And so we talk about ghosts. Are there ghosts? What are they? I don't believe in ghosts, but people do believe in ghosts. And people in the Bible believed in ghosts. When Jesus came walking on the water to the disciples who were in the storm, what did they think? They thought it was his ghost. When Jesus resurrected from the dead and came and stood in his resurrected body in the midst of all the people of the disciples that were there, the doors were locked and the windows were shut, and you couldn't get in, and yet he appeared there, what did they think it was? They thought it was a ghost. When Peter was released from prison by the angel and the earthquake, and he came out and he walked home free and stood outside the door, and little Rhoda came to the door and said, "Who's there?" And he said, "It's Peter, let me in." She turned around and ran back. They're in there praying for him to be released, you know. And he has been, and she runs back to tell him, and they say, "You're crazy, that's his ghost. That's a spirit that's out there." Well, it wasn't a spirit, it was him. In fact, is when Jesus resurrected, he said, "Does a spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have?" And then, you know what he said? He said, "Give me something to eat." And he ate fish, and he ate honeycomb, and they saw that he was a real person. He wasn't a ghost. But people believe in ghosts, and people talk about ghosts, intelligent people, people that have master's and doctor's degrees, talk about ghosts and talk about the spirits of the dead. And you say, "Oh, the people don't believe in the dead." Sure, they believe in disembodied spirits. What do you think all that talk about zombies is? What do you think about all that ghost stories and all those kind of things that people write about? You see, my friend, I have to come to tell you today that this business that he says in Adam all die is not a joke. It's not a funny for Marvel Comics to put out in a book, in a comic strip. It's not something to laugh about. I've heard people laugh about dying, say, "When I die," I've had people come to me and say, "When I die, bury me in a chestnut casket." Old people say this, young people don't know anything about chestnut, how it burns. And it's so they go through hell popping and cracking. Well, that's not a joke, my friend. Hell and death is not a joke. It's a serious matter. And you're going to have to take it up with the Creator one day. You're going to have to talk to the Maker about it. You're going to have to deal with it. And you say, "But I don't want to today." You may not want to today, but it may be the day you have to deal with it. It may be the day you need to deal with it. I distinctly remember the night, and never will forget, when I had a heart attack. I'd been to Blacksburg and come home, sat down in a chair at the end of the table and thought, "Oh, I shouldn't have eaten all that Italian food over in Blacksburg a while ago." And I sat there about another 2 minutes, and then it felt like there was something as big as my fist went right through the middle of my chest and heart. And I thought, "Oh my, I'm having a heart attack." So I got Fern and she got Rodney, and they got an ambulance and a helicopter. And we got to praying, and I nobody had sent me a postcard and said a heart attack's coming on Thursday. I hadn't got a letter. I hadn't got a phone call. I hadn't got an email said a heart attack's coming, so beware. It just came. It didn't ask me. And my friend, you will find out that you don't have to be old and you don't have to be sick and you don't have to be afflicted to die. And you don't have to be in a broken down body. You can be in good health and go away from this world just in a few minutes. It doesn't take long and it's not all that complicated. It'll happen before you know it. You see, my friend, all this business about ghosts and zombies, that's a lot of ballyhoo. There's no ghosts. If we went to heaven, they don't want to come back. If we went to hell, they can't get back. You say, well, that's a terrible thing to say. Well, it's the truth. But I have to tell you something. People that have died, all this business about purgatory and being in limbo, can't get to heaven, can't go to hell, and you're caught outside of your body and you're floating around in the universe somewhere and you're tormenting everybody else that's still living. My friend, you don't worry about that at all. There was a big argument over in the other holler, when I was about 13 years old about whether or not there were ghosts. I don't know if you know it or not, but in front of 84 Lumber, right across the road in those woods, there's a cemetery. It's a very old cemetery, all grown over with periwinkle and whatnot. And I determined that I would prove to all those boys over there that the cemetery was not haunted and there was no danger in it. And so I went down and sat down on the top of a tombstone in the moonlight till wee hours of the morning. And no ghosts came up out of there. None of the old Johnsons that had owned that plantation nor their slaves came up out of there to bother me. And I sat till I got tired in the wee hours of the morning, got up and walked up the holler home. The only danger that I was ever in was if somebody hit me in a car when I crossed the highway or I stepped on a stupid snake while I was trying to get through that brush. That was the only danger I was ever in. There was no danger in those people in those graves coming out and bothering me. There was no danger in them coming out and saying, this is our plantation and we cleaned it up and we made it and you get off of it. That wasn't going to happen and it's not going to happen. And I'll go down and sit on it again in the middle of the night if it makes you any more comfortable not to worry about ghosts. There are no ghosts. There are no zombies. There's nothing like that, my friend, and it's not a joke. The sad thing about death is, my friend, it's so final. It's not something that you have today and forget about tomorrow. It's final. It's the way it is. You say, well, God can raise the dead. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God can raise the dead. And on occasion has, and on occasion does. And ultimately, we'll raise every dead person that's dead to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, my friend. But the truth is, and I'm telling you, you need to recognize it. You need to know that it's not something for funds to make jokes about and to laugh about, that death is permanent. You pass through that portal once and into the other world, and my friend, that's it. You cannot get it back or bring it back and will not. And you say, well, I don't know. Should it make me afraid? Why wouldn't it? I'm afraid to go places that I don't know everything about. It's called the unknown, fear of the unknown. Haven't been over there. Haven't been that way, so I don't know. So I find myself apprehensive about it. Find myself afraid looking that way, and I have to have help from on high. I have to have help from someone else. And I have to tell you this, my friend, I would surely, surely, surely hate to face this ordeal without God. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing not to know for sure that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you were okay with God? Wouldn't that be a hard thing to do? Oh, my friend, I thank God for the peace of God that passes all understanding. And you say, when you had that heart attack that night and the helicopter was coming and all of that was going on, were you afraid? Actually not. Always assumed I'd be hysterical. Always assumed I'd just be crazy. I wouldn't know what to do and I'd be so afraid. And as I waited for the ambulance to come, I prayed and Fern went in the other part of the house and prayed. And I finished up and told the Lord that, Well, I confessed my sins, asked forgiveness all over again, confessed my faith in Christ all over again. And I told the Lord that I didn't want to leave Fern by herself, that I wanted to stay a while longer. But in the end, not my will, but thine be done. And I was as calm as I'm calmer than I am now because I didn't have this stuff bother me as bad. And Rodney come through the door. I said something to him about it later. He said, well, all I know is you were gray all over with no color and sweat was pouring off of you. And you said, help me, Jesus. And I said, well, I remember saying that. Saying, help me, Jesus. That's my way of getting through it. And he did. He said, was you afraid in the helicopter? No. Were you afraid when you got down there and they did a catheterization? No, I wasn't. I might be. I would not say I would never be. I would never brag about a thing like that. But I can tell you, he gave me peace, wonderful, sweet peace in my heart and in my soul. And I thank God that the fear of death and the sting of death was not there, but the peace of God that passes all understanding was. You see, in the Old Testament days, my friends, they did not have the assurance that you have today. When they wrote about death, it was kind of a sad story. You need to go through the Old Testament and read about it. They wrote about man going to his long home. They wrote about man's spirit departing to the God who gave it and his body to the earth from whence it came. They wrote in the Psalms about there was no remembrance in the grave and how lonely it was. Job, in the midst of his trial, said, man that is born of woman. Oh, I used to hate that when the preachers would read that at a funeral. I still do. I don't think that's comforting at all. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He is like a flower that comes up in the morning and is soon cut down and withers away. He says that in the Bible. Yes, word for word. It's in the book of Job. And it's in the Old English prayer book, so it's read all over Protestant forces about everywhere. You see, my friends, when I look at that, it cuts me down. It lets me know just where I'm at. I thank God I didn't live in those days. You may wish to have lived in the days of Elijah or Jeremiah or Isaiah, but my friend, I'm glad I didn't live there. I'm glad I live right where I live, right when I live. We have such advantages of having the Bible. They didn't have a Bible. We have the advantages of the Holy Ghost coming to live in our hearts and lives, and they didn't have that advantage in those days. My friend, if you listen to that scripture that I just read to you a while ago, it talks about Jesus Christ. You see, it says in Adam, all die. I'm glad I don't have to stop this sermon right here. It would be horrible if I had to stop this sermon right here. But you know what the next verse says? But in Christ, say it, in Christ shall all be made alive. Hallelujah, that's the victory, my friend. My friend, it's a sad story about human beings being sinners and dying lost and undone without God. But my friend, the joyful news today is that even in Adam all die, everybody that's in Christ, how many? All of us that are in Christ shall be made alive. Every one of us shall live again. You see, he that is dead in Christ shall rise, the Bible said. And the Bible likes to call death something that's temporary. Say, what's that? Sleep. Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus was dying, and he procrastinated on purpose and waited till he had died so they could see the glory of God. But when he told his disciples about it, he told them the truth, but they didn't understand it, because to them, death was that Old Testament dismal thing. But to Jesus, death was only sleep. Only sleep. And so what does he say? He said, our friend Lazarus is asleep. And they said, oh, if he's asleep, he's doing good. finally had to tell them he's dead. They didn't understand that because he said he's asleep. When the little girl died, and Jairus' little girl, and they came to get Jesus to pray and said, well, don't bother him. She's already dead. There's nothing he can do. And he said, oh, no, she's not dead. She's asleep. And they made fun of him, and they laughed at him. And he said, she's asleep. We'll go wake her out of her sleep. And he could do that because he is the living God in human flesh. And he said, she sleeps. She sleeps. And then he speaks in the New Testament of those that sleep in Jesus. Oh my, isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. My friend, today, are you a Christian? Do you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you sure that you've been washed in the blood and made clean by the blood of the Lamb? My friend, you don't have to be afraid to die. You don't have to be afraid to, as we sing, cross that river. You don't have to be afraid to go over there. You know why? Because you're only sleeping. And you're going to be awakened one day in the resurrection. And your body's going to live again. And your spirit, who's been with God, is coming with Him and with all the holy angels. And then you know what's going to happen? We're going to have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Listen, my friend, my spirit has already been set free. My spirit has been redeemed. I'm waiting for one thing. The Bible said the whole creation groans and travails in pain even until now, waiting for what? The redemption of our body. My friend, my spirit, if I drop dead before I get out of this pulpit, my friend, don't worry about my spirit. My spirit's gone to be with Jesus, and I'm asleep in Him. You say, yeah, but we'll have to take your body over to the funeral home, and we'll have to do this and do that and do something else. Yeah, that's what you'll have to do for my body. But on that resurrection morning when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life, glorified with Him forever. Death will be lost in victory. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. You see, victory is going to be ours. Listen to the scripture. Christ the first fruits. Jesus raised from the dead. And you say, and He had a body. He had a real body. Same Jesus that hung on the cross and they took down and laid in that tomb 3 days later was the same Jesus that walked out of that tomb and walked through Jerusalem, and dead people got up everywhere out of their graves and walked all around that city. And my friend, Jesus Christ ascended into glory. And the angel said, this same Jesus that you see going away is coming again in like manner. Yes. My brothers and sisters, this shout of victory one day is going to ring from the portals of glory down to the deepest grave that's on this earth. And the oldest grave and ever saint that's ever been in the world will hear the voice of God and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall they ever be with the Lord. Glory to God, my brothers and sisters. Somebody ought to shout. I tell you, it's just a wonderful thing to know the Lord today, and listen to the scriptures. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, every one after his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterward them that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Wow, think about that. Jesus is the winning team. Jesus is the winning ticket, my friend. Now listen to this. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. And when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that what he has accepted, that he did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, and put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead raise not at all? Why are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Said, I die daily, if after the manner of men, fought with the beast at Ephesus, if the dead rise not at all, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But my friend, isn't it wonderful to know that we come to this place and he says to us, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Praise be unto God. It is Christ that gives us victory through his death and through his burial and through his resurrection. My friend, you say, well, what can I do about this thing? You say, I'm going to die. Yes, I'm saying you're going to die if Jesus don't come first. And if he comes, you'll have to be changed. But my friend, he's coming. But when Jesus comes, whether you're living or dead, somebody said, I want to be in the rapture. You will be if you're saved. You say, but I don't want to die. No, that's the trick, isn't it? We'd like for the rapture to come beforehand. He's coming. He's going to resurrect us. He's going to take us home. But all of us are going to have to come to the realization that Grandma Marshall had when she stood on the fence and watched Uncle Billy's body go down the road on that wagon that day so long ago. We're going to have to realize that I too will pass this way. I'm not exempt from it. I'm not too good to go. I'm not too important that I can't be here. My friend, we all must pass this way. The whole question is, what can I do about it? I can be ready. I can be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready today? If the Lord would call today, could we go with a clear conscience and be ready? And I can tell you, you say, well, I'm going to pray real fast. You may not have the time to sit at the table and diagnose yourself like I did and wait for an ambulance to come to pray. You may not have that luxury. I see people all the time who just drop dead. I've had them drop dead right in my arms, picked them up out of the floor, people I was standing and talking to. And any amount of CPR that I did or anybody that came afterwards didn't do any good at all because it was over. I had no choice in it and they had no choice in it. And there was nothing they could do about it. It was over. My friend, are you ready? You say, man, this is a sobering message. I hope so. I hope you remember what Grandma realized on that fence that day, watching Uncle Billy's body go down the road on the wagon, that I'm going to do that too. And I want to be ready when he comes. Are you ready? I'm going to come down here and we're going to sing. And as we sing, if you need God today in your life, I would invite you to come. If you've not made your calling and election sure, I would beg you to do so. If you don't know for sure that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I would invite you to come and to get your name written. Brother Glenn, Sister Gloria is here. Pray with me. Other people will be praying all over the house. We'd be glad to pray with you. Father, we pray that you'll touch hearts and lives today, and those that are listening by radio and transcription mission, we pray that they'll hear the word of the Lord today. And Father, we pray your Spirit will go with us and keep us, direct us in all things and all ways that we go. And Father, save the lost. Bring back the backslider. Touch the sinner today, especially, Lord, and encourage the saints. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.